بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأهل بيته وبارك وسلم تسليما، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. But I'd like you all to consider this a little bit before we get into the talk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant tawfiq. Is that I recited durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I included in those words there also blessings to his companions radiallahu anhum wa radwan, and to his family members, and to his wives and his progeny as well. And the purpose of doing that is that because at the moment, we are going through very difficult and trying times in our lives. This world is moving closer to Qiyamah, and the trials and the tribulations and the tests that are coming quicker and one after the other, and more difficult. And one of the trials and tribulations is the attack, not only on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's personality, but an attack on the close friends and the close companions and the ones that gave their lives and gave their time and gave their wealth and gave everything that they could give for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in fulfilling his mission and gaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the Sahaba radiallahu anhum wa radwan ajma'in. So I'd like you to consider this. We are sitting here as mu'mineen, alhamdulillah. We are sitting here as muslimin, alhamdulillah. And our belief is, and the core of our belief is, in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the risala and the prophethood of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These two things are the fundamentals of our belief. Our kalima entails that, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. But we don't just acknowledge and say it. It should be within our hearts, it should be within our minds, in the core of our being, that is our belief. And we accept, because it is the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance as well, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best of creation. We accept him to be the final messenger. We accept that he came with a certain mission. And if we accept him to be the best of creation, the final messenger, the one who came with a final message, no messenger, no prophet, no Nabi to come after him with any new message. The finality of the message has been given by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is entailed in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to us for the very last time, officially. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to mankind for the very last time, officially. That is recorded in the Quran that we have in our presence today. That is the Quran, this is the word of Allah. It discusses, it discusses life in this world. It discusses what will happen after the life in this world. But it also discusses life that came prior to this world. So it is a true book of guidance, and it also deals with the history of man and the history of the world and the history of life as well. So it's a complete book. And this was the last words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to us. And his last messenger came with a message. Now I'm saying these things because I want this to be considered and settled in our minds and our hearts. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with a message. For his message to have been successful, and for his message to have been correctly imparted by him, and for him to have fulfilled the duty of Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum Wa Atmamtu Alaykum Ni'mati Wa Raditu Lakum Al-Islam Deena, that today have I completed this religion for you, this deen for you. I have chosen Islam as your deen. For it to have been given that, for him to have been given that status and the title that I have done this for you, you completed your duty. For that to have happened, the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a messenger and as a Nabi, as a Rasul and as a Nabi, should have been such that those that were close to him and those that were companions to him and those that lived with him all their life and people like Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhum, who grew up with him as a friend from a young age, these people's lives would have been transformed completely. And for his message to succeed, and for us to claim that his message was a success, consider this very carefully. For us to claim that his message was a success, it is incumbent for us to understand that majority or all those that accepted Iman at his hands or in his presence, that were known as Sahaba and companions, would have remained as such. Otherwise, this is a direct attack on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we say 4, 5, 6, 10, 20, 30, 50 out of the 100 and some odd thousand companions only remained as Muslims, it's a direct attack on the Zat, on the being, on the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we say the balance of them left the fold of Islam, na'uzu billah. So understand this as laymen. We are laymen. We are undergoing fitnas. You will find these fitnas approaching you. They approach us on a daily basis, all of us. Very subtly, very openly, shaitan is making his efforts in a way that we cannot even comprehend and understand. But as a layman, as a simple man who has not involved himself in intricate studies of the Quran and intricate studies of the Hadith, etc., have this much in your heart, that if an attack is made on any companion of the Rasul of Allah, then my iman demands that that is an attack on the Rasul of Allah. And that means I will then leave the fold of Islam, na'uzu billah, if I accept it. So therefore, that should be a protection as a layman, as a simple man, for me on my daily basis, in my daily interactions. When you are finding people coming forward and subtly putting things in your mind and bringing proofs to you that are so-called proofs, understand this much and keep this one thought in your mind. If the majority of the Sahaba became kuffar and munafiq and left the fold, murtad, na'uzu billah, out of the fold of Islam, then that means that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam failed in his message, and that means he could not have been the last messenger. And that is not true, because that is the core of our belief and our iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to understand this. But that was not my topic, but I think it necessary for us to mention this, so that we can keep ourselves on guard. And if you keep yourselves on guard for this deen of Islam, your reward is tremendous. Hadiths talk about the reward for keeping the guard on the borders and the boundaries. So we keeping guard for our deen, inshallah. And keep this in mind always. To the students especially as well. I have this habit of choosing maybe a few ayat from the Quran. So I recite from the Quran and I read and I go through it and I'll give a little explanation if I can. But I've chosen Surah Ar-Ra'd. It's a ruku from Surah Ar-Ra'd, a few ayat from Surah Ar-Ra'd, wherein Ra'd itself refers to thunder. Thunder, lightning and thunder. And lightning and thunder, we should understand, is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as the trees are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just as this earth is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just as the sky is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our problem sometimes arises is that we understand as Muslims, we understand and we acknowledge that we are the creation of Allah. Human beings are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are the creation of Allah. And everything that exists is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We understand we're the creation of Allah. And we worship Allah. So we'll pray and we'll perform salah and we make sajda and we read Quran. And we do this with the understanding that this is required of me as a duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So we understand this. But I think a little, one step more, or maybe there are more steps than that obviously, but one step more is not only understanding that this is my duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He's my creator, but to also understand that Allah wants me to be totally committed to Him. My commitment to Allah should be complete as well. So I understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my creator, therefore I must pray, and 5 times a day I will pray, therefore I must read the Quran, and I will recite the Quran, and so did shaitan. And so did shaitan. He knew. He understood Allah. He recognized Allah. He spoke to Allah. But he did not submit to Allah. He underwent this quality of I think. You know, when Allah told him make sajda, his mind went into I think. We must get out of this, you know, situation of I think. When I read the Quran and I want to understand the Quran because it's the last word from Allah to me, because I'm a human being, and it's addressed to me as it is addressed to you and addressed to everybody else, and I'd love to know what my Rabb and what my Creator spoke to me and what He wants me to know, but I am not to undergo the situation that Shaitan underwent and say, I think. So there are people that will be able to explain to you because our deen has come to us from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a manner that is passed on from one to the other. That is the beauty of our deen. It's not just written in a book and understood and then thought about. So Shaitan underwent this I think. We have to get rid of this I think from our lives. And it's not just acknowledging the presence of Allah, but it is submitting to the will of Allah. And that is the difference. So that is why when we say Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi muhammadin nabiyya wa rasoola sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I am pleased. This is my motto in life, and this should be the motto of all of us. I hope it enters my heart sincerely as well, that I am pleased that, Ya Allah, You are my Rabb. You my sustainer, You my provider, You the giver, You the creator, You the shaper, You the form that created me, You gave me form, You the one that gives life, and You the one that gives death, You the one that keeps me alive, and You the one that provides for me my sustenance, You are the one, I accept You, and I am happy that You are my sustainer, and not any other being. The way You do it for me, You have already set the amount of food or the energy that will sustain my life beneficially set. If I fulfill that properly, it will benefit my life. This machine of mine that I have has got a certain limit that it's supposed to take. In my whole life, that amount I am supposed to consume, it will make this machine of mine spiritually, mentally, physically work properly. I go off bounds and I excessively eat or I excessively commit sins, then I am now putting the wrong amount of energy or whatever you want to call it into me, but You set that certain amount for me. And You said, You fulfill my duties in a certain way and live your life in a certain way. There is an amount chosen for you. You will only consume that much. And that much will be beneficial. Any extra will be harmful to you. So I am happy that You are my sustainer, Ya Rab. And this deen, the way of life and how You want me to lead my life, I am happy that this deen of Islam is mine. And I am ever so pleased that You chose, Ya Allah, for us to be amongst the group that falls under the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You chose that for me. I am pleased with that. The warring part is, Allah is pleased with us. Sorry, I am pleased with Allah. The warring part is Allah pleased with us. Raditu billahi rabba. I am pleased with Allah. I acknowledge this. But have I submitted sufficiently for Allah to turn on and say, He is pleased with us? But He made that statement for the Sahaba. Radiallahu anhum wa radwan. Allah said He's happy with them and pleased with them. That was His claim. That was His claim for those people. Our worry should be, we are pleased with Allah because that is our belief. That's why we're sitting here, we are mu'mineen. That's our belief. We are pleased with Allah. Is He pleased with us? And the pleasure of Allah is only attained by following the sunnah and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the only way we can gain the pleasure of Allah. Because He's the final messenger and the final guide. So anyway, let's go on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَمَنْ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ الْحَقِّ كَمَنْ هُوَ أَعْمَى إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. In the surah Ra'd, as I was saying, Ra'd, thunder is also the creation of Allah. And it is also the sign of Allah. Lightning is also the creation of Allah. And it is also the sign of Allah. And everything else is a creation and sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us a rhetorical question. That those people that understand that this Quran and this deen is haq and true and proper, are they the same like those who reject it and say, no, we don't believe in the Almighty, we don't believe in a creator, or we don't believe in this deen of Islam? We should not be apologetic about our deen and the teachings of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should not be apologetic about that. So if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has pointed out that you should eat less, then we should understand we should eat less. And if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that when you eat, clean your plate with your finger, clean your plate, suck your fingers, then we should do that because we accept that he is the final prophet and we accept that we are in the presence of Allah and we accept that is how Allah wants us to behave. So we should not be apologetic and feel inhibited and feel shy to practice the deen of Islam. The world has become so upside down that the practices of the deen of Islam, simple practices, are looked down upon as silly, stupid, and sometimes degrading to people. So if I find that it's a command of Allah that my pants should be above and not over, above my ankle, but wearing these modern day pants may look very silly and stupid. But then this is the teaching of Allah. This is the teaching of the Rasul of Allah. And if this is the command of Allah, then so what? The world has gone upside down anyway. They consider sodomy and they consider gays and they consider all these things as permissible. And we know these are not permissible things. So the world has gone upside down. You focus on what your Quran and your Sunnah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has guided you towards. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks this question, are those people to whom, أَفَمَنْ يَعْلَمْ أَنَّمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ, those people who accept, you know, we accept that this is a revelation to you, O Prophet of Allah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it is the truth. كَمَنْ وَأَعْمَى, like those people that are blind, people who don't see. A blind man, let's take an example of the blind man. The blind man, if I take you, and if you're a blind person, you cannot see, and I place you, in a big hall with a lot of things in that hall, a lot of things placed around, but you're a blind man, you're not familiar with the place, and I leave you there, and I tell you right now, you walk. Obviously, your walking will be such that you'll knock into everything, you'll bang into everything, you won't know where to go. Even if you've got your stick, you'll still knock into things because you can't see. We, in reality, we all are blind people in this world because we are strangers in this land. We are strangers on this earth. We came from somewhere else, and there was a contract we fulfilled with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there, and that is the world before this. We came into this world, we are strangers on this land. We're passing through here. So we are blind people here. The only light and the sight that we can really get in this world is the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Quran and the hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the blind man is walking there, he doesn't know where to walk. He doesn't know what to do. Allah, out of His mercy, placed us here as strangers in this land, passing through. I haven't found anybody who is still living from a couple of hundreds of years, leave thousands of years. I haven't seen anybody living more than 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 years. No creature also I think is that I have seen, that I have met, that is living for 30,000, 40,000 years. So common sense and logic tells me everything dies. Everything passes away. Everything has to start and comes to an end. That's all of us. We all got to go through this world. We are strangers here. We are passing through this land. So if we are passing through this land, we need light to be able to see in this land, on this earth. And that light is the Quran and Hadith. So these people that don't accept that this is the Haqq are blind people. They are blind here. So don't be overawed by them. Don't be overawed by their little bit of learning and their little bit of teaching. You have the Haqq with you. You will be overawed by what you have got with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and says, أَلَّذِينَ يُفْنَنَ هُوَ إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, people who are of intelligence, they take a warning and take heed. أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, clever people, intelligent people, intellectual, somebody who can think, somebody who has common sense. So we all, alhamdulillah, we are all intellectual people. We are all people, ulul albab. We are all intelligent people. We are all clever people. The opposite of that are those people that are stupid, ignorant, have no real sense of understanding. They are the opposite of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a few examples. In other places, He gives other examples of who are intelligent and people of common sense and common understanding. He gives a few examples here. And this is the measure and the scale by which you and I will measure our lives. That am I intelligent? Common sense is not common anymore. So do I have common sense with me? Am I clever? Am I a person of understanding? I will have to measure it against what Allah speaks because He is my creator. And this is what He says. الَّذِينَ يُوفُنَ بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ. Those people that fulfill their covenant that they made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the covenants we made with Allah, we may not remember it. He asked us, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. He asked us, am I not your Rabb? قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. And every one of us answered in that life. Every one of us answered, بَلَىٰ, definitely. And we give witness to this. That you are our Rabb. You are our sustainer. You are our controller. You are my creator. You made me. I don't have a right. You gave me rights. Because you're my creator, I'm your slave. So every one of us answered this. So there's a covenant we made with Allah. And if we remember this covenant, part of our intelligence is there. Part of our common sense is there. Otherwise we are stupid people. So that man who may have the greatest physics degrees, and he may have the greatest, he may be given the Nobel Prizes of the world for all the faculties. He's not an intelligent person in the eyes of Allah. He is merely a stupid man in the eyes of Allah. Because he has rejected the first thing, his duty and his covenant to Allah, that Allah, you are my sustainer. But if he had that, would that, alhamdulillah. Now he's trying to live as a true person because he's fulfilling his duty to Allah, and that's his first duty. And then he's utilizing the world and the intellect that Allah has given him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَّذِينَ يُوفُونَ بِأَحْدِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَنْقُضُونَ الْمِثَاقِ. And they do not break that covenant and that pledge. So we don't break that pledge. That pledge of ours is that Allah is our Rabb. So we don't break it by joining partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are two things, mujibatan, two things that definitely result in something. There's no definites. But this year from hadith, we learn that this is compulsorily results in this. And a sahabi came and asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding it. And he told him, if you believe in Allah without joining partners with him, then Jannah is compulsory for you. And the opposite is nar, Jahannam is compulsory for the man who does not believe in Allah or joins partners with him. These are compulsorily things that exist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down the law. That if you lived your life and you joined no partners with Allah, and joining no partners with Allah means following His Quran and the Sunnah and the teachings of His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the T, then you fulfill the duty. Allah says, then it is compulsory. I have made that law that Jannah is compulsory for you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and وَلَا يَنْقُضُونَ الْمِثَاقِ. And he does not break this pledge. He continuously strives in this world, trying to fulfill that duty of understanding and practicing that Allah is my Rabb. Rabb is such a word that you can't translate it as sustainer only. You can't translate it as provider only. He's the one that everything that continues in our life is because Allah has given it to us. And that should enter the recesses of our heart. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, أَلَّذِينَ يُوفُونَ بِأَحَدِ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ يَسِرُونَ مَا أَمْرَ اللَّهُ بِي أَنْ يُوصَلَ. And then these people who are intelligent people, they join and they fulfill and they complete that which Allah has commanded us to complete. What has Allah commanded us to complete? Not only family relations. You join not only family relations. Allah has commanded us to join things like, it is my duty when I meet a poor man on the road, if I don't have money to give him, I'll give him a smile. No matter how irritating he gets, every day I stop at the robot. And every day that man is asking me, give me 5 rand, give me 2 rand, give me 1 rand, give me 20 cents, give me something. Every day I'll stop at the robot. And every day, and eventually my windows are up, my hand goes to my phone, and I'll act as if I'm busy, because I don't want to even acknowledge the presence of a human being there. But Allah wants you to just acknowledge him, give him a smile, that's all, your reward is done. Open your window, how are you? Okay, no, sorry, I don't have anything for you, but okay. That's all. Simple acts. So all these acts of sunnah that create what needs to be joined in your life, that you need to do as well. And that's a whole topic on its own. وَيَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ. And he fears his Rabb. And he fears his Rabb. وَيَخَافُونَ سُوَ الْحِسَابِ. And he's afraid of a terrible chastisement or punishment. Iman that we all have, alhamdulillah, may Allah increase it. Iman is balanced between two things. بَيْنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالرَّجَاءِ. بين الخوف والرجاء, between hope and fear. My fear of Allah not punishing me or being displeased with me, and my hope that whatever I am trying to do, Allah is happy and pleased with me. These two things is the balance between which I have to create in my life, in my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only way I can do this, if I follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah, I see time is almost up. We won't continue here. وَيَشْعَنَ رَبَّنْ وَيَخَافُونَ سُوَنْ حِسَابٍ. And for those that don't follow the teachings, and don't follow the Quran, and don't follow the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and sort of consider it as negligent, negligible, or uninterested in it. And a lot of us fall into that trap. We go through our lives when we become totally engrossed in our affairs, that we consider the deen and the Quran and the sunnah and the practices, etc., to be very little and very small in our lives. Then remember, Allah's chastisement and punishment is very severe. Now when somebody powerful tells you that I'll give you a good hiding, then you know that hiding is going to be really good. When somebody as powerful as Allah, who is the all-powerful and the creator of all, when He tells you the punishment is severe, then understand that that punishment is so severe, you and I cannot understand it as well. He's just trying to explain a little point to us, that you know what, it's going to be really severe. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase in our hearts the love and the desire to understand the last word that Allah spoke to us, that is the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me the tawfiq to have this relationship with the Quran and the Sunnah, and all of us that we're supposed to have. These things can be sought from your pious elders, your pious ulama. Go to them and ask them, and they will teach you. And may Allah protect us from the fitnas that are coming to us nowadays. Jazakumullah khair.